When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, on Android, Spotify, or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. We're taking episode ideas from there up until the start of training camp. Also, you can communicate with each other, us, get off of Twitter. We know the story at this point, right? This is the place that you want to be. We're going to be adding features to it as we go also. So check it out. Link is right here in the description. That's Off the Floor, $2.99 per month. Also, check out Prize Picks. Use that code 5. They've got a new promotion there. It is legal in the state of Florida. The new promotion, you put down $5 and you play it, they give you 50. As long as you use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Again, 10-1 match. You can use the money right away. NFL is right around the corner, but you can also play the NFL preseason games right now, MLB. Everything is on there. And we know that once the NBA comes back, you're going to want to be on there as well. So use the code 5, F-I-V-E, at PrizePicks.com. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. Make sure you check out the last episode on the feed, which is something that we did with Matt. Matt, I've mispronounced his name 6 times, and I'm going to do it again. Matt Issa. He even told me what to say beforehand. Anyway, from Forbes magazine, he was on with Sean, myself, and Brady. We talked about his article on Tyler Hero, got into kind of where Tyler fits in his archetype. I think Matt's great, actually, and it's a really good episode. So make sure you check that out. But Greg and I are getting back to the hard work here, and we have pissed people off. We've done our top 12. We did it in 3 different episodes. We are going all the way up to 40. We decided to go this direction because everybody knew who number one was going to be. So I'll go through the order. Can I do this off the top of my head at this point? Am I going to forget somebody? Here's where we are with the top 12. There was one choice we've made that I think has irritated people more than most. So before we get into 13 through 16, which is this is getting tough, okay? We're going to piss off a lot of people today. But let's go through the top 12. First. Okay, Dwayne Wade, number one. LeBron James, number two. Jimmy Butler, number three. Alonzo Mourning, number four. Chris Bosh, number five. Shaquille O'Neal, number six. Tim Hardaway, number seven. Bam Adebayo, number eight with a bullet. Some thought we should have ranked Bam a little bit higher, maybe ahead of Tim. I think there's some recency bias to that, but there's also justification to that. Tim never made it to a finals with the Heat. Bam has twice. I think what's interesting, before I go past Bam, we get to 9 to 12. Our top eight were basically the 8 cornerstone players of 3 builds. I think we did that right. I'm not saying that the order was necessarily right, but if you look at it, you've got, and again, Dwayne was part of a couple of builds, right? Obviously, multiple builds. But you have the Dwayne Shaq build, the Tim Zoe build, the Bam Jimmy build, and then you throw Dwayne in, obviously, with the LeBron Bosh build. So our top eight were like, if you think of like, okay, these were the cornerstone players of the best eras of the franchise's history, even though, again, the Zoe Tim build didn't lead to a title. But those are the 3 builds that we talk about the most. And we've covered it, really, with those 8 guys.
100%.
Right? So I think we did well. So I think now looking back at it, we kind of talked each other into Dragic at 9 and Haslam at 10. But I kind of feel like, and I'm not going to change it, but I kind of feel like ceremonially, after we got through the 8 guys who were the cornerstones of the build,
it felt wrong.
It felt wrong not to have the longest tenured player in franchise history, the keeper of the culture, and the captain at number nine. And I'm not just saying that because he's going to kick my ass when he sees me. But we probably should have put UD ninth just because of the way it fell.
Mm-hmm.
And we put Goran ninth, who both of you and I have affection for also. And it's also his big week. It's the Night of the Dragon. And, you know, maybe I got caught up in that a little bit. I still see the case we made for it. But I also understand Heat fans who are like, UD should have been higher. And I'm okay with it. But I don't see how you could have put UD in the top eight because he wasn't a cornerstone of any of those builds. And I guess, again, the one guy people would talk about, particularly the contemporaries, would be Hardaway. But you had to be there to see it. Like, right? Like,
yeah. No, he was the linchpin of those teams back then. I mean, Tim was right in. There's no doubt about that. But I will say, in retrospect, when you get a moment to sleep on it, after, you know, we've talked ourselves in circles to some degree on some of this stuff, the guy who should have been right outside the top eight was probably UD.
Probably. And look, those guys are good friends. I mean, Dragic was on the Haslam thing. Maybe we'll have both of them on the pod together to argue their cases. We could have another guy we're going to have. Probably is going to be in the mix to who would argue his ahead of everybody. But that's where we're at. So number 11, Glenn Rice. And that felt right to me because, you know, the pre-Riley era really didn't amount to much. But he was the best player from it. He's the guy who they traded to get Zoe. And so right outside the top 10, which are Riley era players, I'm good with where we put Rice. And then Eddie Jones was the tough call because then it's like you're dealing with flawed candidates from here. Like for one reason or another. Because, again, the only rule that we have is it's what you did in a Heat uniform. So we've got – I mean, there's different categories here. I'm just going to list off some players top of my head, okay, and how hard this is, okay? I'm not trying to make excuses for us, but the Heat have had a lot of good players, all right? So – you've got some players who are like Hall of Famers and they did important things with the Heat, but their best years were not with the Heat. And that's the guys like, say, Ray Allen or Gary Payton, right? Like Gary Payton hit a huge shot in the finals. Ray Allen hit the hugest shot in the finals. Okay. So you got those two guys.
Mike Miller. Same thing.
Then you have the short timers like Jason Williams, who wasn't here that long. But then also the one-year guys like Anthony Mason, who made an all-star team in his only year here. Lamar Odom, who could have made an all-star team in his only year here, right? So you have those guys. You have another guy like Karan, who started his career. He's now an assistant, obviously, but started his career here and might have blossomed into a borderline all-star, which he did elsewhere. And he was an all-star, actually, when he left here. So you have guys like him. You've got premium role players. Guys like Shane Battier, Chris Anderson, okay, just a couple of the big three are James Posey, critical on the 2006 team. Shooting role players like a Duncan Robinson, who is up there on all the charts. And then you've got, we talked about the bigs. I mean, Ronnie Cicely, third on the team all time in rebounds. Brian Grant, we discussed. PJ Brown, we've discussed. Hassan Whiteside, you don't want to discuss, but statistically, he's up there. Grant Long, who was kind of – I know you can't do it. And Grant Long, who was Haslam before Haslam. And then you've got others who I think we're going to sort of zero in on today, okay? And some of those guys we can, but I just want people to know we're not forgetting about those players. These are just tough calls. We talked about Jamal Mashburn in the last one. To me, he's in the top 16.
Agreed.
Because he was close to 12, okay? So – I'm going to look at some of Mashburn's. I mean, again, I know people are going to focus on the shot that he didn't take and the fact that as the third guy, you know, they ended up having to replace him and maybe the best moments associated with the Heat were the moments against the Heat. But the guy averaged 37 minutes a game in his time here in 4 years. He was their third best player. He was enormously skilled, and he took the pressure off. And as Tim started to fade, Jamal became a bigger piece for them. And you talked about that Detroit series. It's just that he played like shit against the Knicks a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what people remember there. All right. I think he's in the mix here. I think Mario Chalmers is in the mix.
Wow.
And I said, if you had Rio on the pod, he'd say he should have been in the mix in the first four episodes. But, and we may have Rio on the pod soon, by the way, just spoiler alert. But I think he's in the mix here. because of the consistency of his contribution.
I'm with you.
Right? It's not crazy to have him as a top 20 guy in Heat history, right?
No, he was one of the few guys that you basically, like, he was the fourth starter in the Big Three era throughout the most successful, lucrative in so many ways run that the Miami Heat will ever go on. So, I mean, I'm with you. And also, like, we talk about moments. I mean, there was a Mario Chalmers finals game, mm-hmm. but there were also Mario Chalmers moments, and they're not necessarily like that he hit all the big shots, like maybe he did a Kansas or something like that, but he was willing to take them. He was super, like, you just knew what you were getting, reliability from a guy like that. I'm with you. And because of all the winning that happened while he was there, it's hard to argue it. I feel like he's in the mix here for sure.
Well, it's crazy because we use the word reliability and it's accurate, but people don't think of him like that. They think of him like, you know, sort of the irrational confidence and all of that, which, by the way, another guy that we haven't talked about who had a pretty good run for about a year and a half was Dion Waiters. I mean, there's a lot of players we're going to discuss as we go forward here. I know that didn't end particularly well, but he was a huge part of that 16-17 run and had moments like the shot against Golden State, etc. But the thing about the Rio is, first thing, he started 82 games as a rookie, okay, at his not natural position. He did not come into the NBA as a natural point guard. He had to play it that year. And then, as he likes to remind people, he was the only player under contract in the 2010 offseason. They cleared out everybody else. He was under contract before they brought in the Big Three. And even though it seemed like they tried to replace him over and over, like Spo playing Carlos Arroyo ahead of him the first year and then bringing in the corpse of Mike Bibby, one of the coaching mistakes I think Eric has made through the years, which, again, I think he's done a lot of good since that's made up for it. But playing Bibby throughout the playoffs and deep into the finals before he finally started Chalmers in that game six. But look what Rio did in that game six. He played a great game. They lost, but he was not the reason. I think he scored 20 in that game. And you mentioned there were a lot of moments. And a reliable player in the sense that you knew he was going to defend every night. And even though he would do six or seven things that would drive his teammates insane, you know, again, he was there to make spot-up jumpers when it mattered. And I think he belongs in the top 20. We'll decide whether or not he belongs in 13 to 16. But we've mentioned Mash. We've mentioned Chalmers. Where are you with some of these kind of short-run wonders?
They're the most difficult.
Ray made the biggest shot. Ray made the biggest shot in Heat history, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But he had a bad second season before, right? I mean, you recall that? Like, he struggled on the road. He did not have a great second season with the Heat. So I'm just wondering, like, where does a guy like that fit? And then where does a guy who had a really strong season like Lamar Odom, but we only saw 1 year of it? Like, would you rate Lamar over Karan?
I think so, because Lamar also got you Shaq. And so there's a part of that that I think is huge. Ray, all of these short guys, Anthony Mason is another one that, like, had, you know, one really fun year. I mean, it wasn't a fun ending. It was an awful ending, but he was, you know, really good. Odom, Butler, you know, they not only did they parlay, you know, into Shaq, but they were also an up and coming group there. So these are the guys that it's really hard to evaluate. I guess with Ray specifically, like, that shot is regarded as one of the biggest shots in NBA history, not just Miami Heat history. But I just don't know if I can put him up this high. I mean, that's a huge moment. So maybe it'll outweigh some of the other things. But it just didn't feel like, compared to some of these other guys that were maybe the third guy in a build or a key fourth starter like T.J. Brown or Brian Grant even. Like, mm-hmm. I start to lean towards the big guys. And maybe that's my age showing itself finally here. But that's kind of, you know, where I see it currently. Like, Ray, he had the one moment, but did he have a Heat career that is putting him in the top 15, 16? I don't know.
Who made a more significant? So we're going to start to eliminate these guys one by one. We'll try to do them quickly here, but not eliminate from the entire thing, because they're going to be in the top 40. All these names we mentioned are going to be there somewhere, but eliminate them in terms of being up this high. Who made more of an impact to the Big Three overall, Shane Battier or Ray Allen?
Ooh, that is an interesting question. My gosh. I guess you can't take the Ray Allen shot. Like, if you take that shot away, who knows what the hell happens. But I lean Battier. I lean Shane because of the closing lineups. I lean Shane because of the way CB was able to kind of find his way in a different impact role. Like, I don't know. I think that also was a huge addition. Nobody saw that coming. Everyone thought that summer they were going to sign a center. Like, that was like everybody was predicting that. And then on the first day of free agency, they locked up Shane Battier, and it kind of made everyone think, why they don't need another wing, but they had another thing in mind. So that's interesting. I'm leaning Shane Battier right now. I don't know. I sound negative on Ray Allen, but I don't mean to.
I think it's Shane. First thing, Shane was here 1 year before Ray, so he contributed to two championships. And they both were on that team that both of them had burnt out on the whole experience in the last year. But again, Shane was here 1 year longer. But Shane also unlocked all those lineups. I mean, when Bosch went out and Shane had to play up, and then when Bosch came back and Shane continued to play up, playing at the four spot, just all the stuff behind the scenes that he did as well. I think it's Shane. I think it's Shane over Ray in terms of just Heat career. Obviously, and you're talking about two totally different players in the totality of their careers. Ray Allen was a superstar. You know, I mean, not forget Boston. In Seattle and Milwaukee, he was a superstar.
Absolutely.
Shane was not a superstar. Shane was the player who made superstars better, like playing with Yao Ming, playing with LeBron, et cetera. Like, that's what Shane was. But I think for Heat career, it's Shane. So again, for that reason, I'm taking Ray out of the top 16, because if I don't know if Shane's here, but if we're putting him behind Shane, then he's not going to be there. The other guy we got to talk about, and we're going to get to it after the break. There's only one guy in the top 10 in points per game in Heat history for their time in the Heat that we have not put in the top 12. And this is going to be polarizing. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Michael Robert, his entire team, they'll take you through the entire process. If you have a leak in your home, in your place of business, you got to reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida and get it fixed before it gets worse. But if you get to them too late and it has gotten worse, they can do the damage assessment and work with you through the entire process. We've sent plenty of people to Water Cleanup of Florida. Always have a good experience. They're honest, honest people. And you can't really find that in the contracting world all that much. So if they can't do the job, they will let you know. They'll refer it to someone else. But most of the time, they can do the job, and they'll do it better than anybody else. That's why they've got more than 100 five-star reviews on Google. Check them out. Water Cleanup of Florida, your one-stop water and mold cleanup shop. Again, it's WCUFL.com. Make sure you mention Five Reasons. If you've got the guts, excuse me, if you've got the schmutz.
They got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FiveFloor, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so we're going to do another process of elimination here. But first, Greg, you know the answer to this because I told you beforehand. Would you have guessed that, by the way?
Hell no. I wouldn't have guessed it.
All right. Here are the top the leaders in points per game in Heat history. This is just for their time in Miami. LeBron James 26.9, Dwayne Wade 22.7, Jimmy Butler 21.3, Shaquille O'Neal 19.6, Glenn Rice 19.3. All of them were in our top 11, right? Now I'm going to skip the guy that it is. Number 7, Chris Bosh 18.0, number 8 Tim Hardaway 17.3, number 9 Goran Dragic 16.2, number 10 Eddie Jones 16.0. So again, 9 of the top 10. The number 6 player in points per game in Heat history is Tyler Hero. At 18.1.
Can I quickly just say that we were pretty damn good with how we narrowed down our list when you go through that, because we didn't review that prior to us identifying the 12 guys that we got to. So that's super interesting. The fact that Tyler Hero is in that mix means that he has to be in this conversation, whether people like it or not. I think it's just it's inevitable in his short Heat career, especially if you give him credit for the fact that they got to a finals with him playing. Now we're splitting hairs. So it's not like, oh, he won more rings than the other guy necessarily in every case. You have to also think about finals appearances and things like that. And the Heat have been relatively successful since Tyler got here. It coincided with Jimmy getting here. So you have to understand that. But Tyler as a rookie and just his productivity since getting drafted is up there in Heat history. There's no doubt about that. Even for his flaws, he has to be considered.
Well, and some would say they got to a finals with him and then they got to a finals without him. So that will be the counter on this. I'm just trying to predict everything. But again, the question becomes, does one championship for a guy like James Posey or Antoine Walker or any of the others who've won titles with the Heat, or Shane Battier with two, Ray Allen with one, is that more significant than Tyler Hero basically being a part of two finals teams, really playing till the end with one finals team? But I do think he's got to be in the mix. So here's the players that I'm considering more seriously for this group, okay? Mashburn, Hero, Chalmers. I can't put a one-year guy in here, but Lamar Odom is going to come up before too long, I think. Because, again, if he doesn't have that season, they can't trade for Shaq. And that season was really good. It was really good. He really resurrected his career. He was every bit as important, maybe more important in some cases than Dwayne was that season in the regular season. And in the playoffs, Dwayne had the moments against New Orleans, even though he was inconsistent efficiency wise. But Odom had that really good, I forgot, it was a Sunday game where it was like a triple double or a near triple
against Sacramento.
Yeah, there were games in there where it was like, okay, Lamar is like, this is why Pat went and got it. And again, Anthony Mason made an all star team too, but I'm not going to put him up quite this high. So let's look at some longevity guys here. We kind of discussed this list a little bit the last time, but of the bigs, the guys who are up there in categories in terms of longevity, so they produce rebounds, consistent starters, contributions to good teams, although I don't think any of these guys won a championship. None of them did. No. Ronnie Cicely. Again, we're going Riley. And I'll ask this. If I was to say we picked Rice, would Cicely be second among the pre-Riley guys? Steve Smith wasn't here that long.
No, Steve Smith was really good. It's unfortunate. That trade that they made where they traded him for Kevin Willis made no sense. And Steve Smith was so good in Atlanta and Portland. Made an all-star team at least once, maybe twice. And but to your point, it was – short-lived in Miami. There was one playoff run where they traded for Brian Shaw and they were able to play against Chicago and they got swept, but they made the playoffs. You kind of felt like you had the warm and fuzzies there for a little bit. I'd say Cicely is probably the next non-Riley guy, but I'm not ready to put him up this high either, because I just think so much has transpired since then of such magnitude that it's too early still.
So what do we do with Brian Grant versus PJ Brown?
You said PJ had to be in your top 15. I'm quoting you.
I did.
So I did. That helps.
I did, but I'm having a hard time with it only for this reason. Okay. Because I kind of feel like Mash and PJ need to be relatively close together. PJ was the more consistent player, allowed Zoe to be what he was. Mash had the higher upside, had these flourishes, had periods of time where they played through him quite a bit. But again, the team didn't win anything. They won a lot of games. They won a lot of games. Road Warriors, all that stuff. But they didn't win anything. Like, they you know, they lost three times to the Knicks. They beat them once in the final game of the series. They lost three times in the final game of the series. And so that's what I'm struggling with, is to put two non-championship guys, non-championship build guys in my top 15 is hard.
And that's really valid. I had not really thought about it in those terms, but like we did the winning or misery episode. I think this is a point in time where that may be how we split hairs.
Well, and now, so what are we going to say? We're going to put four. I'm not saying I'm not going to do it, because I'm looking at the rest of these names now, but you know, so we would put four guys from a team that didn't win a championship in the top 15. I mean, Zoe won a title, but again, the title came through a different build. Okay. I'm talking about through their build, they didn't win anything. And then the last time it was like, okay, they knew they had to make changes. They made changes that we agreed at the time. Most of us who covered the team made that team better, but we never got to see it because Zoe got sick. So I'm having a hard time with it. I'm having a hard time with putting Tyler Hero as high as 13th when the fan base wants him traded. I don't know what to do with that.
That's so funny.
But then it's like, okay. I mean, if you look at it, you're like, all right, well, he's the third guy of a build that, again, he wasn't part of one of the finals teams towards the end, but has made two finals, three conference finals. He was the third guy on that. We've already put the third guy on the 05 team, not the 06 team, Eddie Jones, but and we're considering putting Mash on now. So this is about the place that he would go. So I'm going to just do this. We're going to go back and forth here. I'm going to let you pick 13. And then I'll pick 14. And then we'll let people yell at us.
Okay. At 13, we are going to slot in Jamal Mashburn.
Okay. I think that's fair. Now, I saw people looking at our lists and saying Jamal should be like teens or something like that. But again, I think people are forgetting that Tim had had a lot of injuries in the last couple of years of that, and that Mash essentially became the number two for a period of time, at least during the regular season. It feels high, but then again, I don't see anybody else who's right.
It does, but then now I'm just having second thoughts mid pod.
No, that's it. That's it. That's it. You picked one. Now I got to do this. I mean, I'm going with Rio.
That was the other choice for me. So I'm happy you went there.
I know people are going to say, like, as you know, individual accolades weren't there. Look, the steals were there. The availability was there too. Like Rio, he played on those teams. He was the starting point guard for every game of the 27 game winning streak. And that's, other than the championships, that's the most significant team accomplishment that they've had. And Mario Chalmers was that. Dwayne missed two games during those 27 games. Mike Miller, I believe it was Mike that slotted in for him. It was, I think. It wasn't James Jones. There were other times it was JJ. But Rio was the guy. You knew he was on the floor every night. He was on the floor every night. You knew what he was going to do. We knew he was going to get yelled at. And yet he would still be there to try to make some plays at the end. And even though there were frustrations with him in the last season, he's gone through some personal things and other stuff like that. Again, he was, I'd say he's 14. Honestly. So now you're up.
This is where it's really getting difficult, because you made a really compelling argument about the winning. And that makes me want to say Shane Battier, but there's also this PJ Brown pending thing that I can't get rid of. But you know what? I'm going to do what everyone doesn't expect me to do. And let's go Shane Battier here.
Okay. It's hard to argue it, honestly, in terms of what he provided for those two seasons. And then you look at the third season was not as good.
Plus his game seven.
That's the other thing. Huge moment in big spots. And that's, and the difference, I just think, look, James Posey was a really good role player for him. He's another one that you could look at in these situations. They've had a lot of these kind of guys, right? Like filled in the gaps for them. But again, Shane did it on two title teams. And the other thing is, Shane was such a big influence behind the scenes. I think that he, a lot of ways, that team took on some of his personality. It was a very intellectual team. I've said that, smartest team I've ever covered. These guys would be, you know, they're not just studying the analytics of basketball, but literally, like, you had like Ray Allen, James Jones, Chris Bosh, like trading books on finance before games. Like this was just a really high intellectual group. And Shane maybe was the smartest guy in the room. And it's just, he added
that. You don't think Terry and Tyler share books on finance, Ethan?
I mean, Tyler's doing well with the off the court stuff. I give him credit. So that's worked out pretty well, but it was a different kind of team. I was always fighting people about that team because, you know, there was just everybody would cast aspersions against them and they were cocky and they were arrogant. They really were. I mean, LeBron, yes. Okay. But again, LeBron,
he's LeBron.
Intelligent. Okay. In terms of basketball IQ, et cetera. But like, it just, yeah. But yeah, there was the not one, not two, not three, but that team was like workmanlike in a lot of ways. Like they busted their asses through it emotionally as well as physically, but also intellectually. And they thought things through and they were problem solvers on that team. And I just have enormous respect for that group. It really was a unique group, and it's going to get lost in some ways to NBA history because LeBron's going to be more associated with the 16 title and all the rest of that. And everybody who was hyper obsessing about the Heat during that time has forgotten it apparently at this point. But really, I've said it was my, I had a master's degree before I got there, but I felt like that was my master's degree in journalism. Like covering that team, I'll never cover another one like that. And it was, it was just a pretty special time with a pretty special group. And I'm okay with us putting a couple champions in the top 15 and in Battier and Chalmers. But now you made it hard for me. I'll tell you who I'm considering here. I'm with 16. I'm not going to go with a one-year guy. But I do think Lamar Odom is going to make it into the next episode.
Agreed.
I think Duncan Robinson is somebody that we're going to get to talk about more as we go forward here. Because accomplished, yeah, as a shooter, tremendous. Ray Allen, Gary Payton, I've said, I kind of feel like, you know, again, we have to evaluate what they were here, not what they were elsewhere. It doesn't mean they're not going to get in here. Antoine Walker contributed to a championship in a short period of time before that went south. James Posey contributed to a championship. Jay Will contributed to a championship. Caron Butler is somebody I would have liked to have seen more of. He'll make it in here somewhere. I mentioned Waiters had his moments. But I'm really considering here two guys, PJ Brown and Tyler Hero.
We have arrived at the Tyler Hero part of the episode, folks.
It's tough because we're talking about two totally different players and personalities. There were people who wanted PJ traded too. It wasn't for the same reasons. It's because there would be these guys like a young Lamar Odom or others around the league. And again, you didn't have Twitter at that time, so it wasn't quite as active, but I would get emails.
Okay? They all wanted Mitch Richmond. Let's just get to the chase.
Well, Mitch almost came twice as a free agent, a trade, all that. They tried with Mitch. But the people wanted PJ moved, not because they didn't like or respect PJ, but because he was the piece you would have to move, you know, to get a star level player. But he was just so central to what they did with Zoe. And he also, what people forget about PJ is he made people kind of forget what happened with Juwan Howard because, you know, PJ came in and then if Juwan had been here with PJ, PJ would have been playing out of position and all the rest of this. They were talking about him playing the three. PJ
would have been clunky.
It would have been very clunky. And with Tyler, it's there have been flashes that people forgot about. And I think what people are forgetting now, some of it is the people we're communicating with, that it's different on Twitter than it is at the arena with him. Still, I just first year or two, particularly the first rookie year, like Brady and I would talk about it, Alex and I, we would talk about it at the games. Like it felt different in there when Tyler did stuff. Like there was more excitement for Tyler, like flashing during those games than there was for anybody else. He also contributed heavily, like you mentioned, as a rookie to a finals appearance. Had the huge moment, obviously, against Boston and has improved as a player since, even though he's missed time and the playoff stuff, with the exception of the one game, against, really strong game against Boston last year, hasn't been great. I'm struggling with this. Am I missing someone? Should I be thinking Brian Grant? Because I'm bouncing back and forth between Brian and PJ too, but I...
No, I think you've narrowed it down to the right guys. I mean... you know, there's still Thunder Dan out there that we didn't get to yet.
I know. Well, if we're talking about great role players, that's...
But again, no championship.
No. And I can't put five I can't put five guys from that team in the top 16 or even probably in the top 20. When they
before Tyler got hurt last year, he was at what, almost 26 points per game. How many guys on this list average 26 points per game at any moment of their Heat tenure? I think it's just
even Caron didn't, Greg. Like, I'm looking at guys who were scorers. Waiters didn't. Nope. Antoine Walker was a scorer before he got here, but he had to fill into kind of a third or fourth role with the Heat, and that at times was a tough adjustment. Ray was not that here. I mean, you're right. I mean, Tyler Hero, 16. We'll be back with 17 through 20. Argue with me if you wish.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.